Listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter, Our Stories, which can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com. And it's also always freely available as a download on iTunes. So today, of course, I have the opportunity to speak with yet another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I'd like to say hello to Natalie. Hey, Natalie, how are you today?
Hi, Pam. I'm great. Thank you. Are you?
Good. I'm enjoying a lazy, relaxing weekend day. And I have been looking forward to this and catching up with you. So I'm excited that you're a guest with us today.
Yeah, no, same. It's an absolute honor to be here, so thank you very much.
You're welcome. So to get us started, could you formally introduce yourself, who you are and where you're from and what you do to keep busy?
Yeah. So hi, guys. My name is Natalie. I am from a small town in Loughborough, which is located within the East Midlands, England. I'm 26 years old. I work as a qualified vocational assessor and tutor, but I'm currently not working at the moment. So at the minute, I keep myself busy with my blog. I'm active within the Stammering community as much as possible. So that's really my main focus right now, whilst job hunting, of course.
And job hunting is so stressful, isn't it? Especially for a person that stutters.
Yes. I mean, well, in all honesty, I haven't got too many horror stories on job hunting. I think because I'm quite an extrovert person and I'm an overt stammerer. It's very much what you see is what you get with me. So I think employers appreciate that. Mm. So but, so touch wood, I've never really had too many struggles with the job hunting side of things. And strangely, I really enjoy interviews.
Oh.
As well, yeah. I just love meeting new people and things like that. So, yeah.
That is strange because I don't know if it's just maybe here in the United States, but people are usually very stressed out about job interviews, and particularly people who stutter or stammer, because people worry about the time pressure, making a good impression, you know, all those things. So it's wonderful to hear that you have had pretty positive experiences and actually enjoy them. That's very refreshing to hear.
Yeah, I mean, when I go into an interview, I always tell myself that they're not actually the only ones interviewing me. I'm actually interviewing them at the same time. I don't actually know if I'm going to want to work there after I've met these people and I've maybe found out slightly more about the job role or the business itself. So I actually go in there with the mind frame, well, if you're going to interview me, I'm going to interview you. Um, So already you've sort of given yourself a bit of a confidence boost there. And I'm always very well prepared. I make sure that I know more about the company than the people that are interviewing me. Honestly, I will know when it was started, how many branches they've got, all sorts. So I'm making sure that I am full of knowledge, which again adds to your confidence. And then also I know that I will be taking my best version of myself in there. And I'm not able to give any more than that. So why would I spend the morning before or the night before trying to make myself into something that I'm not and getting myself worked up over that? So they're sort of the three things I sort of follow when I'm job hunting. Mm-hmm. And as long as I'm staying true to myself, I'm not hiding anything, I'm being my best version of myself, then that's that, really.
Yeah. I love the way you describe that, being the best version of yourself. I mean, that's a perfect, healthy approach to take when facing a job interview. Because you're right, like, we can only be the best version of us. We can't pretend to be anybody else. So that's really, you know, that's very inspiring to actually listen to a young person have that attitude about it. So let me ask you, do you advertise or disclose during interviews that you stammer?
Sorry, pardon me. I actually have it enclosed within my CV. I mention within my CV that I am that as my personal interests, I am very active. Well, I am as active as possible within the stammering community, especially now after Italy and things with my blog. So I have actually altered my CV and put that in there. I'm also studying a course in counselling and psychotherapy at the moment for hopefully to be able to go on and help people who stammer professionally. So that is also enclosed in my CV. So I'm very, very open even before these people have met me. I'm very clear with what I want to achieve out of that course. I really, really hope I'm able to go on and do a master's next year in that. I'm always very open with these people, but I've never really had anybody ask. It also depends what sort of day I'm having. Today, I'm probably having one of my worst days. To which if I was having one of my worst days, I would go in there and I'd be like, look, please bear with me. I will always try and add a bit of a humour onto it. Mm. It's light. It isn't anything that I need them to worry about. It's not their issue. I just need them to see that I'm right for the role. And I always say to people, please ask me anything. I would rather you leave here with knowledge than leave here with assumptions. Because assumptions are dangerous.
They sure are.
Yeah.
They sure are, because then it gives people the opportunity to let their imaginations run wild, and then they develop this misconception of what we're capable of doing. So your openness is, it probably serves two purposes, I would think. It helps you lessen any anxiety that you may have, and it also educates the interviewer and probably puts them a little at ease too, because then they're not wondering, like, what's going on with this person? Is she okay?
Yeah, I mean, and you mentioned to educate. I mean, that is something that is really, really important to me. I mean, even if an employer read my CV and thought, oh, I have no idea as to what a stammer or stutter is, let's just get them in. Even if they knew that I wasn't right for the role, as long as they were doing it in a professional way, I would be educating them, and I would be potentially making a future person who stammers that enters that organization, their lives maybe just that slightly bit easier. So, because I always tell myself and my family and friends around me who don't stammer that there are people still who have never ever met anybody who has a stammer. And that is something that I would just absolutely love to change. I think everybody who doesn't stammer should have a person who stammers somewhere in their life. Because we just bring so much joy and so much openness. And I think that we bring empathy, and we bring active listening, and you very rarely find that nowadays. So I think it's very, very important that we really try and infiltrate as many non-stammering lives as possible.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I feel like what you just said, that we bring empathy and vulnerability to any communication encounter, and that's so rare these days. You're right. I mean, yeah. These days, so many people don't even know how to have a common basic conversation because everybody's attached to their mobile devices. So yeah. Just the simple basic art of conversation is rare. And when you have a conversation with somebody who stutters or stammers, we are by default completely authentic. Because we let our vulnerability spill out as soon as we open our mouth.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And I think that also we're actually able to use our stammer in a very powerful way. And quite often I will actually use my stammer to my own advantage. I used to be a head chef because my background is all hospitality. So when I was a head chef, obviously, as you can imagine, it's a live kitchen, 4 to 6 chefs on your line, shouting orders and checks. As you can imagine, as a stammerer, That can be very, very daunting sometimes. But I find that as a person who stammers, you are able to almost control a conversation. You're able to slow it down, and you give the opportunity for people to actually listen, which again is also something that is unfortunately becoming very rare nowadays. Actually finding somebody who actually listens to the words that you're saying, rather than listening just to respond. And there is a massive difference there. So as a stammerer, when I used to train my chefs and do things like that, I would hold workshops and things, and I found that people are more engaged, they're more willing to listen to you, they're more willing to take the time, and I find that they're more willing to trust you. Because you've taken the time to say those words, and they can see that that is a struggle sometimes. So they sort of, they unconsciously trust those words because you've taken the time to say them. So actually we're very powerful people, and unfortunately there isn't enough of us that know that yet.
Yes,
but that is one of my missions. I have many, as you can tell, but I want us to realize our true capabilities. And I'm gunning for a president that stammers.
Oh, good for you. And a female.
We will have one day.
Good for you. And I love the way that you said we are very powerful people, and not enough people realize that yet. I think that's the key word, yet, because the more that people who stammer and stutter, let our voices be heard and appreciate that our voice deserves to be heard, no matter how it sounds or how long it may take, the more of us that do that, the more we are indeed changing the culture around stuttering.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we do still have some prejudices and stereotypes to sort of smash down, but I don't think they're necessarily things to dwell on. I think that as long as we acknowledge that they're there, and we carry on fighting them and proving them wrong, then I think we will always be moving in the right direction. And the only way is up, really. So
that is so true. 'Cause we would be spending a lot of wasted and energy if we were, you know, heading the other way. So heading upwards and onwards really is the only route at this point. And it's so refreshing to hear you so confidently share your thoughts and your opinions. Have you always been like this, so confident and open?
Yeah, I mean, I blame my mother. She herself is a very, very opinionated woman, very, very strong-minded. She knows her own mind. She definitely knows her own opinions. And we are very much the same person. Mm. So, yes, I've always... Well, I've always had it in me. I've just never had the... I've just not always had the voice. I would say that... I would say that I only really, truly found myself within the last couple of years. So I'd probably say... '18 was when I really started to sort of come out of my shell. I think my turning point was when I was able to go to university, and that was never something I thought I would be able to achieve. Mm. I left school with very few grades. So I sort of stumbled into college and stumbled into a catering course. And sort of found myself within hospitality. And I definitely lost myself within that industry. It's a very hard industry to work in. And then it wasn't until last year that I really found the courage to requalify in something else. Mm. So it's taken a lot of growth, but... Now, I've definitely reached a point where there's just no holds barred now.
good for you. Good for you. And, you know, I wanted to ask real quickly, and then we'll move on to the exciting part that I really want to hear. You mentioned at the beginning when you were introducing yourself that you're a certified vocational assessor. Did I say that correctly?
Yes.
So what is that?
So here in the UK, we have things called apprenticeships. Mm-hmm. And these are qualifications over 12 months that people are able to gain whilst they work.
Hmm.
And they're funded by the government. So as a vocational assessor myself, I work from home. I will have about 40 learners on a caseload. So I then have to see all 40 learners within the space of about 4 to 8 weeks. And their qualification may be in management or in team leading or in customer service. So I will go into their workplace and I will set them the knowledge side of the qualification, which is questions. But then I will help them achieve the competency side of the qualification through observations at work and through professional discussions based on their practical work life, basically. So always meeting new people. Mm. I mean, I was traveling about 1500 miles a month. It was, but I absolutely loved it. So I definitely need to find myself another.
Yeah. So it sounds like you know a little about a lot of things. Is that correct?
Probably, yes. I know a lot. I know a lot of nonsense as well, I know.
Okay. That's so funny. So well, we met basically because you joined the Facebook group that I founded several years ago for this podcast, Women Who Stutter, Our Stories. I have a Facebook page where I post the conversations that women have, and you posted a blog entry, actually two, I believe, and I read both of them with interest, but particularly your second description of this. It looks like recent, perhaps, and correct me if I'm wrong, recent experience that you had with joining other young people in some type of a international stuttering, stammering adventure. Am I right?
Yes. So, so at the end of June this year, I had the honor and privilege to go and spend a week in Italy with 40 plus other people who stammer. And we spent the week up in the mountains.
Oh my gosh.
Italy. So this all, I mean, this all for me happened very quickly as well. It was actually through one of the Facebook groups. I think it was the Stuttering Community one, actually, where I ended up chatting to a man who lives in the Netherlands, who actually runs this exchange group. And we were chatting about how I'm doing my counselling and my psychotherapy course, and he was really interested. And so he invited me on this trip. But it was literally only about 3 weeks before the trip I found out that I had a spot. So it was all a bit of a whirlwind.
Wow.
This side as well. So yes, so I had absolutely no idea what to expect. It was with there was nine countries in total.
Wow.
And there was 4 to 5 participants from each country. The trip was funded by the European Erasmus Youth Exchange Organization, I think they're called.
Okay.
Something along those lines. The link is actually within the article, so if you wanted to have a look. But,
yes, I'll actually find that and include that in the notes with this conversation that we're having.
Oh, thank you. But also, I didn't really know why I was going. strange as that sounds, because I wasn't really going for myself. I know that that's quite hard to understand, but before this trip, I was very much sort of living in my own bubble, and I was sort of very happy within that bubble. So, and I thought that I was fully accepting within my stammer and all these things. So really, I was more going for the experience rather than any benefit to myself or my stammer.
Okay.
But that's not what happened. That's not what happened. So the trip itself was sort of themed around performing arts. So we had to sort of, we were split into smaller groups and we had to plan and then perform a small performance at the end of the week.
Oh my God.
Yes. Now I am not a drama person. I don't sing. I don't act. I don't really do anything like that. I can dance. But that's on a Saturday night after a couple of glasses of wine. So I was very, 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 very sceptical about that part. I also didn't know how other people were going to react to that theme as well. Mm. But it was amazing to see how every single person embraced it, embraced the worship. They embraced the workshops where we had to do a bit of improvisation, which was just absolutely terrifying to me. But then when you're surrounded by people that are giving it everything themselves, it would be very... You would actually look silly if you were going around very shy. So it was just fabulous that everyone was just having a great time. But I think the main thing that I really took away was the transformations that I witnessed. I mean, there were people at the start of the week that were sat on their own and clearly didn't quite know how to sort of gel with a group, and especially a group on that size. I mean, to walk in a room with 40 plus people for anybody is daunting.
Mm.
But for us as people who stammer, it's obviously even more so. But then at the end of the week, these same people were taking on solos within their performance and actually taking the stage on their own and reading lines. And it was so emotional. The whole week was just one big emotional roller coaster. I cried. I cried pretty much every day. One of the most amazing experiences I've ever had.
Yeah, from what? Like, what made you cry? What was so, like, compelling to you?
Just seeing these people grow and seeing their confidence grow and seeing them find themselves. They've necessarily not found themselves 100%, because I think we're continuously on that journey throughout our lives, but you see them find a part of themselves, and it's so hard to put into words. It was just amazing. Ever since I've come back, I've tried to explain this. The experience to family and friends, and I can see that they just don't quite understand, and it's so frustrating that I can't let other people feel how I feel.
I kind of understand sort of what you're saying. Every year I go to, in the United States, we have the National Stuttering Association, and we hold an annual conference. It's in a different city in the U.S. every year. I went to my first in 2006, So, and I haven't missed one since. And this one that I just went to in early July was my 13th. So it was in Chicago. And there was over 800 people there. So wow. You want to talk about daunting, but 280 or so of those people were first timers. So it was the first time for them in a large gathering of people who stutter. For some of them, particularly younger people, like in their 20s, it was the first time they had ever met other people who stutter or stammer. And it was also the first time for many that they were consciously making an effort to address this part of their life, which for many of us, we sometimes tend to hide from the world. So now that I've been like coming for a number of years now, one of the things that I help with is activities and programming for the first timers. So I put together, with help of course, a welcoming workshop on the first day so people will know what to expect and have a chance to meet other first timers. And then the next day we have a first timers luncheon where they'll get a chance to, again, meet other people, begin to make connections so that after the conference, they'll be able to keep in touch with each other. And at that luncheon, we also have an open mic opportunity for people to, if they want, to go up in front of the group, up on stage, and speak into a microphone and say whatever. So it is also very hard for me to describe to other people how incredibly powerful that is to see other people, maybe for the first time ever, feeling confident enough within a group of other people who get it to go up on a stage, speak into a microphone, and maybe the only thing they say is their name. Yeah. And it might take a minute for them to say their name. And they say their name, and then they go sit back down. And everybody applauds, and, you know, and... You know, like, people like my friends at work and stuff like that, they're like, they don't get that. But it is so huge for a person to come into a community of other people who stutter for the first time and find the courage to go up on a stage in front of 200 people and say something.
Yeah.
And to me, that was like, I was like bawling, like every time somebody found that courage, because everybody listened, no matter how long it took. Mm-hmm. And you could see like on people's face, the relief and the pride and the sense of joy even in doing that. Yeah. So I wonder, like, is that maybe similar to what you saw?
Yeah. I mean, I think it all comes back to empathy. We have the ability to put ourselves in that situation, we may not have had the same journey or necessarily the same struggles as that individual, but we know how terrifying it is to stand up in front of 200, 300, 400, 500 people and say your name, and especially your name. I mean, for so many people who stammer, just saying your name is a struggle in itself. I mean, I went for years and years. Well, I would say that it took me until my 20s until I was able to say my name without stammering. And I was determined that that is one word that I was never going to stammer on, because that is my identity. That is who I am. And I am not a stammer. I am a person who stammers. I am Natalie and I have a stammer. So for me, just to say my own name without stammering and to be able to introduce myself as me, as I know who I am, was really important for me. And I remember just sitting in my bedroom and saying my name over and over and over again, because that, and it did work. Somehow it worked. It was probably more willpower than anything. So that for me was a massive triumph. I didn't feel like I was beating my stammer, because I don't ever want to beat my stammer. Strangely, I would never want to get rid of my stammer either. But I know that we probably have equal power over each other.
Yeah, and you know, when you say strangely, I wouldn't want to get rid of my stammer. I don't find that strange at all. I mean, you said you're 26, so you've lived with this for 20 plus years. I'm older than you. I'm not going to tell you exactly how old I am. But I too have lived with this for many years, and it shapes who we become. It totally does. And sometimes I have thought, or I've been asked, hey, if there was like some magical pill or medication that came around, you know, would you take it if it would cure your stutter? And I have often said no, because I don't think I would recognize that person that doesn't stutter.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if I would like her.
That is exactly those words are exactly what I say to people that ask me, and it's so refreshing to find another person who stammers with that, with those thoughts. But because I think the same, I don't know if I would like the Natalie who doesn't stammer. And it's not worth the risk.
Right. You're right, because who knows what the side effects of a pill or medication could be. And who knows, like, without the stammer and the associated journey that we've had because of it.
Yeah.
We could risk that, losing that empathy and that authenticity that we have, that helps us to really deeply connect with other people. And I wouldn't want to risk losing that either.
No, and I think that if I was, if I was to get rid of it, I would feel as though I was getting rid of it for society and not necessarily myself.
Yeah, because society thinks that we have to have perfect fluency, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we don't, because we can be excellent communicators and not be perfectly fluent, because clearly communication is so much more than fluency. It's connecting and authentically and actively listening and hearing what the other person is truly saying. And right, I mean, there's lots of people, I'm sure you can name probably 10 off the top of your head, just like I can, that are out there in the public eye who are, you know, fluent, and they're out there speaking and they don't say anything.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
just not good communicators.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's so true. And I mean, I know that I don't need fluency in order to achieve what I want to achieve. And my whole underlying message behind my blog and anything I do in regards to stammering awareness is that fluency is not and should not be your main focus. For me, my fluency really massively improved when I accepted myself as a person who stammers. Now, that for me was a very natural journey, and it wasn't something I necessarily sought after, but I do think that anybody is able to achieve that. I truly, truly believe that everybody is able to achieve full acceptance of themselves. And I really, really hope that my blog helps at least one person who is ploughing all their time and energy into focusing on their fluency and not focusing on themselves as a human being, because if you're going to make real changes in your life, that's where you need to start. If you don't accept yourself as yourself before the stammer, then how are you going to accept yourself as a stammerer? So I really hope that I can help people achieve that, or just get halfway there even. So this is why my blog is called Proud to Stammer. I sign off all my articles Proud to Stammer. I use it as a hashtag. It's a bit of a movement. I'm trying to sort of put some energy behind. I'm using the green heart everywhere I can, and I know that that's caught on with some of the guys from Italy. I've noticed that they're using it. So I'm just really, really trying to gear people up to see that they can be truly proud of their stammer.
Wow. This is like, has been such an amazing conversation. And I have so much more that I would love to ask you about, but we do need to wind down. The time always goes so fast.
I could talk
incredible.
To you all day, Pam,
me
honestly.
Too.
It's been
me
an
too.
Absolute pleasure.
Me too, Natalie. Like, I just feel like we're kindred spirits, like maybe on the same page. But I well, did. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I really hope that I will be able to attend one of the national. The national conferences in the US. I would absolutely love to come at some point in the future. So I hope to meet you there one day.
I hope so too. That would be amazing. And it's funny because I really want to come to a British Stammering Association conference one day. And I'm actually toying remotely with the idea of maybe coming this year. I mean, it's very last minute. Are you going?
Yes, and this one is actually going to be my very first one.
Oh my God.
As well. I know, I'm so unbelievably excited, and there's going to be some of the guys from Italy there.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so excited, and it would be amazing if I could meet you there as well. That would be just great.
Yeah, I don't know if it will actually happen because, as you can imagine, flights from New York in the US to Cardiff, I believe, in Wales, they're quite expensive. So I am trying to scheme a little to see if there's, you know, something I can do. Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, if I went, could I stay with somebody, like, the night before the conference starts and maybe the night the conference ends to, you know, like, save a little money. So, like, I am thinking about it because I visited London 8 years ago and I met some fantastic people. I went to a BSA meeting and just had a wonderful time in London and met one of the conference organizers, Christine Simpson. You may know the name. But I met her in person, and actually, this is a story for another day, but I spent the week with a woman who had never met another person who stammered in her life. We met on the internet, on Facebook or Twitter or something, and we just began interacting, and we both kind of said, wouldn't it be really cool if we met? And I said, I would love to come to London. And she's like, well, you could stay with me for the week. And I'm like, really? So I was like, really? Like, you would do that for a stranger? So I was like, hey, you know, when would I get a chance to go to a city like London and not have to worry about paying for a hotel?
Yeah.
So let me see. So I found an airfare ticket that was relatively all right. And I was like, screw it. I'm going to go. So I went. She met me at the airport. We recognized each other from, like, our, like, Facebook profile pages. It was so weird. It was so weird because both of us were thinking, like, oh, my God, like, what if we don't like each other? Like, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, like, really, because that was, like, such a risk. And we did. It was just amazing.
I still
think about that, like, all the time. Like, who would do that for a stranger?
I know. It's just amazing,
so,
isn't it?
Yeah, it was. So we went, so we visited all around London. She lives outside of London in Milton Keynes, I think is how you say it.
Yeah.
And we went and saw Buckingham Palace and visited Windsor Castle. And like I said, while I was there, I really wanted to go to a BSA meeting. So I had contacted somebody from the BSA, and they're like, well, you're in luck, because the week that you'll be there, we happen to have a meeting. So it was like perfect. Like everything fell into place. So I've been thinking, I really need to get back there and go to a conference and see some of these people again and see how people in other countries have conferences, because they're probably different than what we do here at the NSA. But we're in Florida next year. If you think that that might be a possibility, and it's only the end of July, so I still have a month to kind of figure out if I could really make it to the BSA. So who knows? Maybe we'll meet sooner than
fingers crossed.
Yes, yeah.
I'll have everything crossed.
Yeah. But Natalie, thank you so much for being a guest today and sharing parts of your story and just for being Natalie.
Oh, no. Thank you for having me, Pam. It's been an absolute pleasure.
And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.